Good evening and welcome to the midpoint of our novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If your parish bulletin or the diocesan newspaper advertise an upcoming Marian pilgrimage, your imagination may take you on a tour to some of the major Marian shrines across the globe, to Our Lady Guadalupe in Mexico City, Our Lady of Lourdes in France, Our Lady Fatima in Portugal, and possibly ending at St. Mary Major, one of the four papal basilicas in Rome, the spiritual heart of Christianity and Marian devotion. But maybe international travel is not possible for you right now. Are there any Marian shrines in the United States? I'm glad you asked. Yes. So this evening, I would like to take you on a quick whirlwind tour to various Marian shrines that could be a future destination or maybe just a prayerful stop on your trip ahead. Now, before we begin our trip, let's have a quick look at some Marian numbers for the United States. Out of over 200 active Catholic cathedrals across the country, 58 of them are named after the Blessed Mother, including our own Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in the Diocese of Wichita. There is no exact official count of how many Catholic churches in the United States are named after the Blessed Mother. General estimate says about 1 in 4. In the great state of Kansas, there are 56 Catholic churches named after the Blessed Mother. Yes, I counted them. These parishes are dedicated to her under various titles, such as St. Mary's, which, by the way, wins with a landslide. St. Mary's everywhere. St. Mary's, the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption, and then various titles of Our Lady of fill in the blank, such as Guadalupe, the Rosary, Perpetual Help, Lourdes, etc. By the way, which diocese wins with the most parishes dedicated to Our Lady? Salina. They love St. Mary's churches everywhere. They're probably all down I-70. All those little towers are all St. Mary's. Anyway, lots of St. Mary's. I just kind of chuckled. And kept, wow, okay. The major international shrines have a common thread. They were primarily places where Our Lady appeared to one or more people for a heavenly purpose. Of the recognized national Marian shrines in the United States, only one falls in this category. All the other Marian shrines we will be visiting during this talk were established in order to provide an opportunity for those in the United States to receive and reflect upon Our Lady, her motherly love, and her desire to lead us to her Son, Jesus. Most of these shrines have extensive grounds on which a pilgrim can pray during their visit. In addition to a chapel where Mass is said and the Blessed Sacrament is reserved, a pilgrim will usually find many small outdoor shrines, including the Stations of the Cross, Rosary Walks, shrines to the big three Marian apparitions of Guadalupe, Lourdes, and Fatima, as well as those of various saints. So this will be a quick whirlwind tour. If you are interested in additional information on any of these shrines, when this talk is printed on our website, at the end of it will be links to all the various shrines that you can look at and read to your heart's desire. So the first shrine to Our Lady in the United States is the National Shrine of Our Lady of La Leche y Bueno Parto. Thank you. Our Lady of the Milk and Happy Delivery in St. Augustine, Florida. It was initially built by the Spanish around 1620, and it's located on the grounds of the Nombre de Dios, the Name of God, Mission in St. Augustine. The devotion of Our Lady of La Leche can be traced to the Milk Grotto Church in Bethlehem. It is believed to be the site where the Blessed Mother breastfed baby Jesus. They have shrines for everything, don't they? So devotion to Our Lady of La Leche was a very strong with the Spanish people who then settled in Florida. Many women seeking to conceive, pray, and light candles at the shrine. And the shrine receives many letters telling of answered prayers for conception, as well as safe deliveries of problematic pregnancies. Scooting up the coast, we go to Washington, D.C., where we will find one of the most well-known shrines, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Known as America's preeminent Marian shrine, it contains over 80 chapels dedicated to Mary. Now, we won't spend much time here today. You will hear more about this basilica during an upcoming novena presentation. So we're going to keep moving north, and we'll make a visit to the Basilica of the National Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Youngstown, New York, just north of Niagara Falls. The dome of the basilica is 100 feet in diameter and 50 feet high. At the top of the dome, there is a statue of Our Lady of Fatima that is 13 feet high and weighs 10 tons. In front of the basilica is a giant rosary of 59 lights and a rosary pool shaped like a heart in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There are four of us who went to the World Youth Day in Toronto, and we visited this shrine. And I remember that rosary, and you prayed it like this. Like, I didn't pray a whole rosary that way, though. But kind of a unique feature is found on Fatima Hill, a rosary of beads made of authentic cannonballs. These symbolize the need to surrender weapons of war to the Queen of Peace. And for those who love Our Lady Fatima, we'll travel south to the National Blue Army Shrine of Our Lady Fatima in Asbury, New Jersey. This shrine, dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, was built in 1978 as a response to our Lord's question to Sister Lucia, "What is being done to spread devotion to the Immaculate Heart of my mother?" The shrine's purpose is to be a place where people can encounter Our Lady of Fatima's message of prayer, repentance, and conversion. It also serves as a conduit through which the message of Fatima can be spread throughout the Americas and the rest of the world. The Capelina, Portuguese for little chapel, is one of only two exact replicas of the chapel built at Fatima on the site of Our Lady's apparitions. And you know where the other one is. We got the blueprints from them. So it houses the Pilgrim Virgin statue, which in itself is exact replica of the miraculous pilgrim statue carried in procession at Fatima. So all your Fatima questions, the Blue Army Shrine, excellent place to go to. But we can't pause, so we gotta keep moving. So we're gonna travel inland a little and a little west to visit the National Shrine Grotto of Our Lady of Lourdes at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland, the home of one of the major theological seminaries our diocesan priests attend. This beautiful mountainside shrine features the oldest U.S. replica of the Lourdes Shrine in France, built just 17 years after the apparition of Our Lady to St. Bernadette in 1858. This shrine features a 26-foot gold-leafed statue of the Virgin Mary placed on top of a 95-foot tower and is a prominent geographical and navigational beacon for all those who travel in the area. This Marian statue served as a federally registered air landmark for aircraft navigating the Route 15 corridor. Everyone who flies that way looks for her. Everyone knows it's Mary. How's that for a bit of evangelization? Yeah, they all know who she is. Okay, we're going to leave the East Coast, and we're going to travel south to the Basilica of Our Lady of San Juan de Valle in San Juan, Texas. It's a major shrine in the Rio Grande Valley. With its annual visitor count surpassing 1 million, it stands among the most frequented Marian shrines in the United States. The veneration of Our Lady of San Juan de Valle has its roots in the town of San Juan de los Lagos, Mexico, which emerged near Guadalajara after the Spanish colonization. There, Spanish missionaries placed a revered image of the Immaculate Conception within the town's church. A miraculous event in 1623 catalyzed a devotion to Our Lady of San Juan. An acrobat's family performing in the area suffered a tragedy when their youngest daughter fatally fell during a routine. In their grief, an indigenous caretaker of the church urged the parents to lay the image of the Virgin Mary atop their daughter while she invoked the Virgin's intercession. The child miraculously returned to life, which ignited the widespread devotion to La Virgen de la San Juan, a devotion that now extends beyond Mexico into the United States. We're going to move up east of the Gulf Coast to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Prompt Succor in New Orleans, Louisiana. French Ursulines arrived in New Orleans in 1727 and established the oldest school for girls currently operating in what is now the longest running girls' school in the United States. So during a period of crisis, Mother Saint Andre Madire appealed to her cousin, an Ursuline sister in France, to come and help. Her first request to leave France was refused. So one day, while praying before a statue of the Blessed Mother, she was inspired to say, "O most holy Virgin Mary, if you obtain a prompt and favorable answer to my letter, I promise to have you honored in New Orleans under the title of Our Lady of Prompt Succor." Her request was approved. Generations of Ursulines and friends of Our Lady of Prompt Succor have learned about many of the favors granted through the intercession of Our Lady in response to pleas for quick and favorable help. Two particular interventions stand out. On Good Friday in 1788, frightened residents joined the sisters in the Ursuline Convent Chapel, begging Our Lady to save them and their homes from the raging wind and fire that was sweeping across New Orleans. The superior saw Sister St. Anthony, one of the older nuns, climbing the stairs. Following her, the Reverend Mother discovered that she was carrying the small statue of Our Lady. As the superior watched, Sister hurried to the window on the second floor. She set the statue on the sill facing the fire, then knelt and prayed with great confidence, "O Lady of Prompt Succor, save us, or we are lost." At that very instant, the wind veered and the flames were blown back over their path of destruction and soon died out, leaving the convent unharmed, while nearly 800 buildings in the city were destroyed. The second, it's a longer story, but I won't get into all of it. You can read it on the website yourself, because you know where to find the links, is the victory of General Andrew Jackson's small, little-prepared, and ill-equipped band of soldiers against the British Army's attack of New Orleans in 1858. And that is also credited, that victory is accredited to the intervention of Our Lady of Prompt Succor. We're going to have to leave the coast. We're going to move north to the Marian Shrines in Wisconsin. A little cooler up there. These are the Basilica of the National Shrine of Mary Help of Christians at Holy Hill, the Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe in La Crosse, and the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion. This latter shrine is the only shrine in the United States where an approved Marian apparition took place, and which our faithful novenagoers we'll hear more about tomorrow night. The history of the Shrine of Mary Help of Christians at Holy Hill begins with a hermit in the mid-1800s. He found an old French diary and map dated 1676 showing a cone-shaped mountain in Wisconsin. The diary described how the author placed a stone altar, raised a cross, and dedicated the hill to Jesus' mother, Mary, an account which corresponds with Jesuit missionary work in the area in the late 1600s. Irish settlers first called the area Holy Hill, and in 1863, a log chapel was dedicated as the first shrine to Mary, Help of Christians. The third and the present shrine and church await all those who visit Holy Hill seeking Our Lady's help. The Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, is fairly new and was established under the guidance of Cardinal Raymond Leo Burke. The shrine remains dedicated to the continuing work of evangelization, bringing souls to Christ through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Here, a visitor is able to spend time contemplating the beauty of the shrine and nature, which draws the heart and mind to God. Now, I have taken you far and wide, but I'm going to now take you to the three closest National Marian Shrines on our pilgrimage. And by the way, I find it very interesting that pretty much to the west of us, there's nothing. Most of them are on the East Coast, and then we find some in the Midwest. But there's one kind of in Oregon. One of the sisters thought just because the East Coasters were there first, and they set them all up, and there was nothing left for the people on the West Coast to do. So, anyway, but it is very interesting as far as the national shrines. You know, the plains and over west, there really aren't any. So you're going to have to travel east or north or south. So the first closest Marian shrine is the National Shrine of Our Lady of the Snows in Belleville, Illinois, about 7.5 hours from here. This shrine was established and is staffed by the missionary Oblates of Mary. The devotion to Our Lady of Snows, we see it in Rome with the Basilica of St. Mary Major. That legend, that story doesn't really come here. How it attaches here to the Midwest was first introduced in 1941 by one of the OMIs known as the Flying Priest of the Arctic. He was a pilot who brought medical aid and supplies to remote oblate missions, particularly north of the Arctic Circle. He developed a strong personal devotion to Our Lady of the Snows while working in the Oblate missions and built a small chapel in her honor. So this same priest, after his ministry in the Arctic, came to reside at St. Henry's Seminary in Belleville, Illinois, and a painting that he commissioned of Our Lady of the Snows when he was in the Arctic was hung on the seminary chapel in Illinois, and hence the name of the shrine. Now we're going to go another shrine. In Perryville, Missouri, we find the National Shrine of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, which is about an 8-hour drive from here, so close. In order to spread devotion to our Mary as Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, an association was formed in France shortly after the first medals were distributed. As devotion to the Miraculous Medal spread across the globe, other associations were established to continue this work. And in 1918, an association was established in Perryville, Missouri. In the Shrine Church, pilgrims can contemplate the beautiful architecture, statues, and paintings depicting the elements found on the Miraculous Medal. And finally, we end with one of our favorites, the Shrine of Our Lady of Sorrows in Starkenburg, Missouri, approximately a 6-hour drive from Wichita. The area was settled by Germans from the Hermann, Missouri area. They brought with them a statue of Mary, which the Germans named White Lady. Whenever they had a procession, they would carry her in their midst. She is placed in the parish church built by the settlers. However, after a few years, a larger and more elegant statue replaced it, and the White Lady was placed in an attic. So in 1888, during the month of May, near this parish church, a dogwood bush was in full beauty, covered with hundreds of fragrant blossoms. And in the attic of the monastery, the sacristan and nephew of the pastor, found an old, white, faded statue of the Blessed Mother. So he took her and placed her in the midst of the flowers of the bush. The addition of a few candles completed the May altar, and eventually a log hut was built to protect the White Lady. Hardly two persons could kneel within, the rest had to kneel outside, and people came to honor her. On history, the shrine continues, and you can read about it on their website. It really is fascinating how it goes back and forth. But it is filled with miracles worked through the intercession of Our Lady of Sorrows. If you go into the chapel now, to the left of the main entrance of the chapel is the aisle leading to the altar of Our Sorrowful Mother. It looks like a small chapel of its own. Before this altar lies crutches and braces, as well as plaques of thanks, many which are engraved in German, all bearing testimony to the graces received through the intercession of Our Lady. And just a quick word about this shrine. It is very remote. You get off of I-70 and meander your way through the hillside of Missouri until you find it. And unless you come on a day when they're having a parish or a shrine celebration, such as September 15th, you are very likely to have the place all to yourself. So I would encourage you not to go alone, but instead to come with a friend and share the beauty of this shrine, Our Lady's presence, and motherly intercession with them. So as we end our tour of shrines dedicated to Our Lady, let us in all things and everywhere, wherever we may be, turn to Our Lady, confident in her motherly care for us, and implore her intercession for all our needs and intentions. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm sure